Let's just say a short prayer, just really asking God to speak to us himself through his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this afternoon that we have this privilege and honor of coming to your word, of having the opportunity to come to your word, which is living and active. And Father, we want to ask you through your Holy Spirit to bring that active and living word right straight through to our hearts. Lord, we ask you, speak to each one of us. May your word become alive in our hearts and in our lives and make a difference. Be effective, for it says that your word is alive and is effective. May we feel its life, may we feel its effectiveness, may we feel its impact in our lives as we now come to it. This we ask you, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you that you have already done it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you. As indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. So as we continue this study on the book of Colossians, we said a few weeks back that the writer and author is Paul, who identifies himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he qualifies that further by saying that he's not just an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So important. And so very, very vital for us even today. Because not everyone who called themselves apostles during Paul's time were true apostles. And neither are all the people who call themselves apostles or different prophets now in our time are true prophets and apostles. So Paul identified himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will together with Timothy. And he, after greeting the church by saying, grace to you and peace from God our Father, which is a traditional greeting, is peace. Shalom, which basically means peace. So it's peace, but Paul now added grace to you and peace from God our Father in his greeting and salutation to the church in Colossae. And as we move on, the first thing that Paul tells them about what he tells them is what he prays for that church. Now, I don't want to go back again, but we have done this 2 weeks ago. We said that the saints in Colossae that he was referring to, he says to the saints in Christ at Colossae, refers to all those who were in Christ, who believed in Christ. Sainthood, we said, was not something that was reserved for a few people. It wasn't that a few people who were very pious, who were very reverent, who were very kind of holy, were called saints. No, that was not the case. They were not a select people who they would call saints in Colossae, but the entire church, those who believed in Jesus Christ, were saints. And we saw that from the book of Corinthians and Romans last 2 weeks ago. And as he writes to them, this is what Paul does. He says he gives thanks to God. He's referring to his personal and Timothy's as well, because he says in verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. And there are two things that he and Timothy and his fellow other servants and apostles with him pray about and give thanks to God about when it comes to the Colossian Christians. Two things they give thanks to God about. Now, I'm going to look at both of these because they're so important. Paul did not take their faith in Christ as something that is for granted. He thought it was worth thanking God about. He thought it was worth coming to God about and giving thanks to him for their faith. He did not take their faith lightly. And very often we do that. Very often we take our faith lightly. We take it for granted. We think it will always be there, and it is there. Especially for those of us who have grown in Christian families, grown up in churches, we take our faith lightly. We don't attach any extreme value to it. But for Paul, it was not something that he took for granted. It was not something that he took lightly. It was something that he stood before God and thanked God for the faith of the Colossian Christians. When someone comes to faith in Christ, it is not a small thing. It is not at all a small thing, friends. Our faith in Christ is not a small thing. It's a major cause for celebration. It's a major cause for thanksgiving. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Luke chapter 15 gave three different parables to illustrate this point. Three different parables. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15, where Jesus talks about the very well-known parable of the prodigal son. Read the parable of the lost coin from verse 8 to 10. And this is what Jesus says. He says, "What woman who has 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her women friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the silver coin I lost.' I tell you," says Jesus, "in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents." Joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner, guys, who repents. One sinner who comes to faith in Christ, then heaven throws a party. Do you think faith is something small? Think again. In God's eyes, in heaven, it is something big. And when one sinner is transformed into saint, heaven rejoices. Heaven makes a big deal out of it. I remember in the church where I first came to Christ in Yugoslavia, or current Serbia, we had a congregation of about 120 or so people. And it was customary in that church that during worship and praise time, you could just stand up and pray loudly. And everybody would join, and everybody would agree with you in prayer. So for instance, in the middle of the worship, or during, you know, between the two songs, somebody might arise, anyone, you know. And there was this woman, I remember, who stood up, and she almost regularly, whenever she stood up, she didn't stand up very frequently, but whenever she stood up, I remember her prayer. She would start a prayer like this, and she would say to God, she would say, "God, the day you flung the stars into being and created the heavens, the day you created earth, the day you created all creation, that was a great miracle," she says. And then she says, "Lord, when you took on human flesh and you became a human and walked this earth, you did an even greater miracle." And then she says, "But Lord," she says, "the greatest of all miracles was when you turned me, a sinner, into a saint." She said all the other miracles were great as they were. But she said the greatest miracle, she said, was when I, a sinner, was turned into a saint because of her faith in Christ. Such a great value she placed on her faith in Christ. And that is a great faith that Paul is thanking God about. And it's important that this faith is in Christ Jesus, because Paul says that he thanks the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for your faith in Christ Jesus. It's not a faith in a church, friends. It's not a faith in an organization. It's not a faith in some kind of, you know, a kind of teaching. You have other religions who tell you, okay, you follow these rules, you do these things, you keep to this conduct, you keep to this code, and if you hold on to that, you'll be saved. No, it's so important, and Paul emphasized that, that he was giving thanks to God, the Father of Jesus Christ, for their faith in Christ Jesus. Friends, don't take your faith lightly. Don't take your faith for granted. It is your greatest treasure. It is by faith in Christ Jesus that you find salvation. There is no other name by which we can be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. Don't mess about with your faith. Don't allow others to walk over your faith. Don't make your faith a minor issue in your life. It is major. It is big. It is without parallel. Paul was very grateful to God for the Colossians' faith in Christ Jesus. But I want to ask you, how did these Colossian Christians come to faith in Christ Jesus? As you look at your own faith, many of us may have come to faith because our parents were in the faith and we kind of followed in their footsteps. But at some point, each one of us would have had to make that decision for ourselves, to make that faith our own. You cannot ride on your parents' faith. It's not possible. And like someone said, God has children, but he has no grandchildren. Never. And the faith of these Colossian Christians, how did they come about? You can rest assured that it was not random. It did not come about without being triggered. It did not come about, you know, spontaneously. But because someone bothered to tell them about Christ. Someone was concerned enough to take the truth of Christ to them. Let's read verses 4 onwards. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel. It says, you have already heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel that has come to you. He says, you have heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel. He says, they heard it. Somebody took it to them. Somebody sounded that good news to them. The gospel basically means good news. And in Greek classics, it's used to announce the victories of armies. And he said, you heard it, he said. It has come to you, he says. And in the message of truth, the gospel. And the gospel is the message of truth, friends. And that faith in Christ Jesus was not triggered by anything else, but by someone bringing and telling them about the good news, about the message of truth, or the word of truth. Someone did bother to take that to the city of Colossae. And we know, you know, in this case, it is written here that it was Epaphras who took the gospel. He was concerned enough, you know. He cared enough to share this message of truth with his people in Colossae. Faith only comes by hearing, my friends. True faith comes by hearing. That's what Romans tells us. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And this faith that these people had was so precious that Paul gave thanks to God about their faith. He made sure that they understood that their faith was something precious, something valuable. When Jesus was about to be crucified, all of us know that Peter was one of the front runners who proclaimed and declared that he would never leave Christ. But Christ told him that the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. He says, the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. That's what he said. But then Jesus told him, but I have prayed for you so that your faith may not fail. It is your faith that the devil targets. when the devil was sifting or seeking to sift the apostles, it wasn't anything else that he wanted. It was their faith. So Jesus prayed that their faith, that his faith may not fail. That's what he prayed for. There's nothing else that Jesus prayed for. He said, I have prayed for you so that your faith may not fail. You see how precious your faith is? Doesn't that say a lot that Christ did not pray for anything else when the devil targeted and wanted to have a go at the disciples, but he prayed for their faith not to fail? That's how precious our faith is, friends. Don't mess about with it. Don't throw it about as if it's something that you can pick up tomorrow. No. For Paul, it was major enough for him to thank God for the faith of these Colossian Christians in Christ Jesus. Many of you will remember that Jesus asked his disciples at one point, who do you say I am? He faced them and confronted them with the question, who do you say I am? First, he asked them, of course, what do other people say who I am? Who do they say I am? And they gave him different answers. Say, some people say this, some people say that. But eventually he turned the question around and asked them, who do you say that I am? And this is what they said. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 to 17, because I want to conclude with the importance and the value, the preciousness of the faith in Christ Jesus that we have. Verse 15 says, but you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter gave the right answer. He gave the correct answer. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But now see what God, Jesus responds. How Jesus responds. And Jesus responded, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. You see, the very fact that we can arrive at truth, the very fact that we can arrive at a saving faith in Christ Jesus is a gift of God. It's not something that we have worked up. It's not something that we have worked out. It's not something that we have calculated. It's not something that we have gone to school for and achieved. It's not a grade. The very fact that me and you can believe in Jesus Christ and have salvation, the very fact that we have arrived at a saving faith, the very fact that we have faith in Christ Jesus to have this hope reserved for us in heaven is a gift from God, my friends. It's a gift from God. That's what Jesus is saying to Simon. He's saying, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Basically, he's saying to him, you did not arrive at this conclusion and at this truth by your own capacity because of your natural faculties. He's saying, the Father in heaven revealed that to you. That is a gift, my friends. How are you treating that gift? How are you holding on to your faith? Are you trampling on it? Are you taking it lightly? Are you taking it for granted? Because Jesus told Simon, straight on. He told him, you did not get that. He says, my Father in heaven revealed that to you. It's a gift from God, friends. It is a gift from God. Let's not take our faith lightly. Let's not be laid back about our faiths, about this precious gift that God has given us. Let's make sure that we value it. Let's make sure that we hold it precious like God has given it to us, which he indeed has. Let's make sure that we're working on it, growing it, developing it. Let's make sure that we don't allow the devil to take it away from us. Because Jesus prayed for this same Peter. Because the devil wanted to take that faith from Peter. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, you can go and read it. Jesus said, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Satan does not come for anything else in your life. You think he's interested in your gadgets, in your money, in your wealth, even your physical bodies? He's not. He's no interest there. One thing he's interested in, and he's always targeting that. If you're not careful, you're going to lose it. If you're not taking care of it, you're going to allow him to take it. It's your faith. The fact that Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed that your faith may not fail, says a lot. Each one of us, friends, should really and truly shape up and be serious about our faith. Take our faith for what it is, a gift of God, a precious gift of God, a valuable gift of God, a gift of God that we cannot take for granted or allow the devil to take away from us because we are laid back about it. Paul saw the value of that faith in Christ Jesus. That's the first thing he thanked God about when it came to the Colossian Christians. And the greatest thing that we can do to thank God for our faith is nurture it. That's the greatest thing that we can do. Nurture it. Nurture it. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. Let's pray. And as we pray, I want to ask you, and I didn't come here this afternoon to rant. I didn't come here this afternoon to talk about faith as much as I have. But I know that God is speaking to some of you, if not all of us. I know that all of us give faith in our lives different values. But God is challenging you. It is a gift of faith that you, it's a gift of God that you have faith in Christ Jesus. If you indeed have professed a faith in Christ Jesus, it is a gift of God. Don't you ever think that it's just going to be there all the time. And don't you ever doubt that Satan is not after anything else but your faith in Christ Jesus. And the greatest response and appreciation that you can show to God for his gift is nurturing and valuing that faith in your own life. And I want to just pray this afternoon for those of us who might feel guilty of not valuing our faith as we should have done. For those of us who feel that God has spoken to us because we're not nurturing our faith as we should do. We take it for granted. We take it lightly. Those of us who feel like that, God has spoken to us, because God has convicted us. Doesn't matter who you are, and doesn't matter who the next person is beside you. I'm just going to ask you to stand up so that I can pray with you. And we want to make this right. We want to correct this. We want to be on the right path. We do not want the devil to be playing around with our faith and eventually making us lose it, because we can lose it. Jesus said, I prayed for you so that your faith may not fail. If his faith failed, that guy would have been lost forever. Lord, I pray right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. May your forgiveness come to them. As they have come, Lord, before you and stood before you, the wrong that they have done in the past. And I pray, Father God, for your grace in their lives to be multiplied and increased, Father God. That they would also be able to take their faith seriously. That they would not take it for granted. That they would not take it lightly. But they would take measures and take steps in their lives, Father God, to nurture their faith, to value their faith, to hold their faith precious. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, may your hand be upon them. Right now, Father God, as we pray standing before you, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, touch their hearts. Lord, touch their hearts. Lord, may a new channel of grace be opened into their lives. May they experience, Lord, an increased amount of grace coming to them, Lord, that they would be able, Father God, to hold on to their faith and hold it valuable, hold it precious, and make sure that they're nurturing it too. Father, I commit them into your hands and to the word of your grace that can sustain them and keep them until that day. Lord, we ask you this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.